We've got a broad idea of where they'll go. You can look at areas of New Zealand which are geographically large and they're hard for newspapers or newsrooms to cover. So really, it's literally from Northland right down to Southland and over to the west coast and possibly the east coast of the North Island. So we haven't allocated the reporters yet. There'll be an application process where newsrooms will apply to the NPA and we'll consult Radio New Zealand and work out a plan.
So you can't be specific about the 8 locations where you're likely to employ reporters just yet?
No, it's a bit early for that yet because, you know, the ink's sort of barely dry on the various agreements and there'll be an application process and we'll go through the applications and there's various criteria that will need to be met. And then we'll make allocations based on the merits of each case.
And Rick, how did you go about deciding which are these undercovered, underserved regions where local democracy issues, council meetings, health board meetings and so on are not being reported or even attended by journalists?
Well, we've talked among the publishers and the editors, and this has been a process that's been going on for many months. And so the publishers and editors have given us their views of where perhaps staffing levels are not where they'd like them to be and where there might be gaps in coverage. And so we've got all that information and then it'll be just a matter of taking all that on board and then looking at the merits of each application. So, you know, there'll be a scattering of them across the country. It's not a big number, but it's a start and a really good start.
And when do you think we will know where those 8 locations are?
Oh, I think in a matter of weeks we'll know that. This process hopefully will move along quite quickly now.
And I know this is just a pilot for 12 months initially, Rick, but what do you think will be the targets or the measures of success after a year?
Oh, I think for a start we've got to get the reporters and, you know, not every reporter wants to go and work in rural or regional New Zealand, so that's the first challenge, is to hire the really good experienced reporters who will be multimedia journalists, able to cope with print and with digital and with radio. So that's the first challenge. There'll be a quota of stories that each one has to meet. The metrics will be important. We'll be counting and measuring the performance. And we should see some results, you know, reasonably soon.
And Paul, what would you consider to be a success? 8 reporters employed after about 12 months. What would you be looking for?
I think providing a range of news from those regions, those local areas, where we're, from RNZ's point of view, where we see some stories flowing through, both to us and other outlets, that is strengthening the coverage. I think, as Rick says, the fact that we've got really good, well-trained, very productive reporters in those jobs and that they're moving the dial with some of their reporting, they're really digging into local issues, that they can get stuck into investigations where that's merited and that the reporting is robust and sets the debate both within those local areas but at times nationally as well. So I think the quality of the journalism will be a key.
And Paul, where do you consider these regions or locations are where there simply aren't enough reporters to do this nuts and bolts reporting that's important for local democracy?
I'm not getting myself involved in the detail. I'll let the project team and the people more closely involved make those calls. They're closer to the information. And the other point is that this is a pilot, so we'd want a range of regions to kind of assess how they go in different parts of the country. So there'll be a mix.
But one region you think right now that needs this?
The West Coast.
Okay. Rick, outfits doing this work already possibly might miss out because you have to be a member of the Newspaper Publishers Association to benefit. One example that strikes me is an online startup called Crux, covering local issues in Queenstown and Wanaka, indeed set up specifically because it felt that local issues, important things, weren't being covered. It's done a lot of reporting, for example, fresh reporting just this week about shortages in healthcare provision and hospitals in the region. Now, this is a charitable organisation which was set up. Is it possible there are outfits like this that miss out because they just don't fit in this scheme?
I think there's two points to this, or two parts to this. One is that the host employers will be MPA members, and that's just for really the practicalities of the situation, is that we're a well-organised outfit. We've been around for a long time, and so we've got the organisational sort of network to make it happen. I think the second really important point is, say a local democracy reporter goes into Central Otago, for example, and I don't know whether that will happen, but somebody could. If that happens, then that local website will have access to all that content at no charge. So because it's public money, we will be aiming to get these stories to the widest possible public audience. And so there'll be a pretty low barrier to entry in terms of other media outfits like a local website which might want the stories. They'll be supplied from, if there is a reporter in Central Otago, they'll get all that copy anyway.
But it seems a shame, though, if a company has gone to the trouble of addressing this need, setting up a means of doing it that's not a newspaper, but they can't actually then apply for the opportunity to employ a reporter in their newsroom to cover the news.
Well, the point to remember is this is a pilot. We've got to sort of walk before we can run, and we all hope that this will extend beyond the 12 months. And if it does extend beyond 12 months, and if the money gets any bigger or larger, then we would want this opportunity to be open to all qualifying media. And by qualifying, I mean they've got to be bona fide media. They've got to be, their content has to be subject to either the Media Council or the Broadcasting Standards Authority. There are a few criteria like that that would apply. But second time round, if the scheme is continued and extended, which we hope will happen, they might well be eligible.
And Paul, what sort of journalist do you think you might be looking for this scheme? Are we talking about, you know, veteran journalists who've been let go or made redundant in past years that have that local knowledge and experience, or perhaps is it newer, hungrier, you know, digital natives with multimedia skills that you'd want in these positions?
I think it'll end up being a mix. I'm sure there'll be some young blood coming through with, you know, who are digital natives and able to nail the multimedia part of the job easily. And then there's likely to be some more experienced people who perhaps covered local authorities before who want to get in and have a real crack because they've got a passion for covering these issues. And again, I think because it's a pilot, ideally we'll have a range to see who sort of goes best in those jobs. And, you know, this is about finding out how this is going to work, so you'd expect to have a range of people.
And Rick, the announcement's quite specific. It says these reporters will be dedicated to coverage of local bodies and authorities that are currently underreported. But do you envisage perhaps that the reporters in these roles might end up working together on projects, sort of national stories about, I don't know, water pricing, voting systems, things that are common issues around the country?
Yeah, they could. I mean, it'll be up to the editors. The editors will control this. The reporters will be editorial independent, and you know, they'll consult their editors and they'll make those sorts of decisions locally.
Now, Rick, on this program a couple of years ago, we talked about the proposed merger between the two big newspaper companies, and you made the point that in other countries, France, Finland, or a couple you named, there is state support for newspaper companies, direct state support. Now, never before have newspaper reporters at privately owned media companies been employed from the public purse, so this really is a first. Do you see this now as a sort of idea whose time has come?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I did a lot of research into this last year, and I was surprised by the number of European countries in particular that get substantial assistance from the state, because the politicians and society generally sees local coverage as really important in terms of maintaining a healthy democracy.
And Paul, you were a former chief editor at Fairfax Media, biggest newspaper publisher in the country. Did you ever think the state would be paying for newspaper reporters around the country?
Oh, look, we can all look back with rose-tinted glasses at the kind of the days when commercial media companies had robust finances, and that was a great model. You know, not ideal, but it did provide some real robust and independent coverage of regional and local issues. But those days are well and truly over. And look, it's not dramatic to say there's a crisis. As part of the assessment of this pilot, we did look at how numbers had declined in the regions. Reporting numbers have declined, and you know it's more than a quarter from what we can see in the past 5 years, and that decline's not about to stop now. So,
25% in the last 5 years.
Yeah, up to 25%, around about 25%. So, look, this is a real problem, and it's going to continue. That those job losses are likely to continue given the commercial headwinds faced by commercial media. So this is a way of doing something that's independent and constructive to try to address those gaps. And yes, you know, if you look back, if 10 years ago, if I'd been looking forward, I think I would have been surprised. But I think we're all looking for ways to support journalism, support local communities, address those gaps in a way where the journalism is independent and robust and the industry is actually collaborating, not trying to beat itself up. So this is a real groundbreaking project, and you know, at its core is a sense that a free flow of reliable, robust journalism is a public service and a public right, and it's something which communities need to make sure that their elected officials are kept honest.
Now, the UK system that this is partly modelled on, that the BBC administers, the BBC didn't really want to do it. I mean, they were directed to the government to do it. It was made their responsibility to address this problem. I think they call it top slicing. So they took some of the very generous BBC income and made them fund this whole project. I mean, for this, you're now a public broadcaster, or boss at a public broadcaster. Don't you feel like this is money for public media that perhaps could be better spent by RNZ rather than at newspaper companies with their own financial problems?
Well, the funding for this scheme comes from the Innovation Fund, and this pilot is definitely innovative. I think that's what it was designed to do, to look for new ways to do things. But I think New Zealand's too small a market for, and RNZ is certainly too small an organisation to do all the heavy lifting itself. We think that there are really interesting and innovative ways of getting good public media outcomes by working with our colleagues across the industry and getting more efficiency and effectiveness by doing it together. Look, in RNZ, one of RNZ's charter requirements is to provide a high-quality, widely accessible news service, and this amplifies that.
I think a key here is that this news service is aimed mostly at local media, and Radio New Zealand has a fantastic news service, but you've got to remember it's a national news service, and you don't have local breakouts in all these small parts, small regional centres in New Zealand. And so you really do need to get these stories at a local level being published or aired locally. I mean, if RNZ, say, got 8 extra reporters, then those stories, a lot of them are probably not going to make a national news bulletin, whereas the stories coming from these reporters in small provincial towns or provincial cities, they'll get a big run locally. Some of them will be big enough for a national broadcast or to be run right through all media in New Zealand, but a lot of them will just need local audiences and meet the needs of local audiences. I think that's the key.
Yeah, Paul, you described this as efficient, but I wonder, is it the most efficient way to go via New Zealand On Air and this fund? Because if you were told by the government, look, here's $1 million to employ more regional reporters, you know, we only have, what, reporters in 6 or 7 locations around the country at RNZ at the moment, you could probably do more with $1 million directly as it is now. You've also got to employ a manager to run this service because it's coming from this innovation fund.
Look, the reality is that the Innovation Fund was always designed to work in concert with outside producers, the external community. In this instance, it's the NPA. So it was always designed so that RNZ could work and commission from other people outside RNZ. And look, if someone was handing me millions of dollars, maybe we'd be doing other things as well. But it's about using the funding that is available, and this is a really good opportunity to do this. But I think RNZ's view is that we want a diverse media ecosystem. We want one that where there's a role for a public service multimedia organisation like RNZ, absolutely. But also there's a range of people operating regionally and nationally. So I think this helps sustain that diversity. And I think that's really important. But it does require us to look at things a little bit differently.
Would it be cheaper? Would you get more than 8 reporters out of $1 million if it was given to you directly? And then the 30-plus news partners of RNZ could have all their content wherever these people are.
It might be slightly cheaper, but in terms of a long-term commitment to that, those staffing and doing it properly, the numbers wouldn't be that different. But what you'd lose is the ability to collaborate and do something differently with our colleagues across the regions. And as Rick says, we can't get into every local market with our services at the moment. So we're very happy to provide that to a local newspaper to do that.
And Rick, one of the criticisms I note of the BBC system, which has produced a lot of copy and has been broadly regarded as a success, one of the criticisms is that some 3 newspaper publishers employ the vast bulk of the local democracy reporters, almost 150 now, around the UK. And some of the critics say, look, those publishers, those companies, actually slashed their news reporting staff over the years, and that they're now effectively being bailed out on, you know, what should have been seen as a more essential expense that they should have covered even in tight times. Do you see a danger of this happening here? Because I imagine the likes of Stuff that have laid off a lot of reporters in recent years would be in a prime position to apply to get reporters in these locations under this new scheme here.
Yes, they will be. And, I mean, the British example reflects the development of large aggregations of titles over the years, and that's happened pretty much everywhere, where newspaper groups have formed for a whole bunch of reasons, but to get sort of efficiencies in operation. So the big publishers here will get a number of those reporters. I'm not really too bothered about what's happened in the past. My main driver in this is actually making sure that communities are well served in terms of news services, and particularly focusing on where public money is being spent and where public officials have control of the money. So, I mean, you can poke around in the entrails of what's happened in this industry in recent years, but, you know, I'm very focused, as Paul is, on looking forward and saying, OK, we've got a number of communities now that are not being particularly well serviced in terms of covering local meetings and committees and boards. How can we get around to giving the public a better service? And that's what this is about. And behind it all is the sort of shadow of democracy, is that, you know, unless we have an informed public, you have an apathetic public, and then people don't take part in local body elections, they don't take much interest, and then sometimes the wrong people get on boards and councils and do things that are definitely not in the public interest. And this is all about addressing that problem.
Well, while we're poking around at the entrails of what went on in the past, Paul, the New Zealand Press Association went under, partly because of the competitive rivalry between the two big newspaper chains. You were working for one of them at the time. If we still had the New Zealand Press Association cooperatively sharing around the country local news from all the different publishers and newspapers, would we need to be doing this now?
Possibly not. Hard to say, because obviously NZPA closed in 2011. We're now 8 years down the track and the market's changed. And I think attitudes have changed among newspaper companies and journalists and RNZ, where we do see that having a multimedia shared service of news done efficiently, effectively and collaborating together has some real value. But the New Zealand Press Association never looked like this project's going to look like. This is, you know, at least 8 really well-trained reporters in local areas, working in local newsrooms, funneling their content up to whoever wants it. This is quite a different model. It's focused on people out there doing reporting, not on the exchange of stories. So as Rick says, we're looking to move into the future and do something that's actually about what's happening now.
Yeah, even if you had, I suppose, an NZPA today, it still probably wouldn't have been able to provide in current circumstances.
Very different.
The content that this might. Rick, one thing is this funding is only guaranteed for 12 months. This is a pilot project, as you pointed out, and the future funding is dependent on it being a success. But if it's a roaring success and you want to double it, have 16 reporters the next year, for example, who decides on that? Can you get more money from this innovation fund, or is it all in the hands of, say, New Zealand On Air?
Yeah, we'll be very much in the hands of New Zealand On Air and Radio New Zealand. I mean, the $6 million Innovation Fund, of which we're getting $1 million, is a 12-month one-off allocation. So we'll be working very hard to get some sort of continuity here and access some different funds. But I guess we first of all got to get some runs on the board, and that's the immediate objective.
Yeah, look, it's a pilot. So what we want to do during the 12-month pilot is do an assessment on whether it's working. And I think if we can show that the journalism has been high quality, that it's informed local communities, that audiences have engaged it, and that as an industry we've collaborated, that'll be a good basis to talk about how we can continue and maybe even expand it in future. You know, there's no doubt that the New Zealand government's looking at ways that it can support a diverse journalism ecosystem, and this might be one of those things, one of those ways.
But Paul, what if New Zealand On Air says, look, you've had your 8 reporters, you want more money, but look, we think it's more important you create some new drama for RNZ or some new multimedia features on urban life, or digitise your children's stories archive or something like that, and they say no?
Look, I can't speak for them, but I would have thought that...
But the point is it's not in your hands, right?
No, it's not. But again, this is collaborative. This is about a range of people coming together and trying to figure out a problem. And the problem is, how do we keep robust local journalism alive in regions of New Zealand? That's not going to be fixed by more funding for drama. This is a very particular issue. And I think if the pilot has worked and it's shown its value, there'll be a really good case for it to continue. And but, you know, we can't fix that problem at the moment. What we've got at the moment is an innovation fund that's 1 year that we've got $1 million from to give this a good start.
Well, the broadcasting minister spoke about this in December, saying he knew that you were thinking about this and investigating the British system. Have they been supportive?
I think they're interested and observing, and there's certainly no formal discussions or formal commitment. But look, I don't think it's best for the industry to sit there and expect a minister or a government or a government department to come up with solutions. What we're doing is actually taking the initiative ourselves and saying that we can do this. We can do this because this is a good idea, because we can work together, and let's see what happens. So I think we're going to continue to drive the initiative, and I'm really confident that as an industry we can do that very well.
And as the Minister said, he supports this, he's happy about your announcement this morning?
I think he'll make his own comments on this announcement. I'm sure journalists will be trying to talk to him as we speak, so I won't speak on his behalf. But look, this to me is not about the government. This is about the journalism industry in New Zealand, the news media in New Zealand, taking the initiative and doing what they do well, which is like getting stuff done and keeping local communities communicated with and informed. So I think the assessment of the pilot will be what determines the future of this.
Yeah, because the Minister did say back in December he was worried about what some of the media companies, the newspaper companies, had told him about their future viability. He was really worried 3, 4, 5 years into the future. So in this instance, but he didn't prompt you to do something like this in order to plug a gap and until he gets a bigger solution, because he also expressed a willingness to investigate, you know, coming to the party on improving local news coverage.
Look, I'm sure the government is developing a lot of policy and thinking around the sustainability of journalism in New Zealand. Every country in the world is doing this, and the New Zealand government's no different. That's going to take a little bit of time, but this wasn't prompted by anything that happened in government circles. This is prompted because Rick and I had a chat and we decided to give it a shot.
And Rick, I know it's only a 12-month pilot, but in 3, 4, 5 years' time, do you hope that this scheme will still be running and will actually become a pretty essential part of the New Zealand journalism landscape, a bit like perhaps the old New Zealand Press Association?
Well, I don't think it'll never be like the New Zealand Press Association. And the reality, as Paul pointed out, is the economics today wouldn't support an NZPA as we once knew it.
But as a source of local news available to everyone around the country at no cost.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm just absolutely committed to this concept of having communities that are well served by local news, and particularly publicly funded organisations and councils and boards and the like, with publicly appointed or publicly elected members sitting on them. We've just got to be shining the torch on these people all the time to make sure that the money is well spent and that decisions are being made very much in the public interest. So it's terribly important. I mean, this is all about not only maintaining local journalism, this is all about maintaining democracy as well.
And Rick, journalists listening to this with some experience who want to get back into it, or new ones who are keen to be part of this process and either live in the regions or are willing to move to one, how do they go about expressing an interest in?
There'll be advertisements are being prepared, and they'll be running reasonably soon. I don't have an exact timetable, but those advertisements, job ads will be appearing, and people can apply to them.